In our first passage from the Old Testament book of Sirach, part of the wisdom literature, we read, "Conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than the giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God." Humility is the key virtue. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, great spiritual writer of the Middle Ages, said that humility is the mother of salvation. Of course, when we look at our Lord Jesus, as St. Paul speaks of in our second passage, Jesus is the perfect model of humility. He came to do his Father's will, not his own. He came to serve, not to be served. St. Paul will write, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself, obediently accepting the cross. And so humility is a key virtue. For us, we need to remember, though, there's a tension. We are the poor victims of original sin. We are wounded with what is called concupiscence. The key part of that is pride. Pride is opposed to the humility. Now, this isn't pride in the sense of that good sense of self-esteem. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be proud of accomplishments. No, pride here refers to that first capital sin, that vice. Pride here is a disordered, an inordinate sense of self-esteem, where we think everything is about me. It's all about my kingdom. It's about my way or the highway. I am perfect. That's the pride. But all of us have this tension between the humility and the pride. So when we look at humility, a humble person is always going to be mindful that I am the humble servant of God. God has given me everything. Therefore, a humble person takes the time to begin the day with prayer and praise throughout the day, making those little acts of praise, contrition, petition, even thanksgiving. A humble person then is going to be mindful of that presence of God, worship God at Sunday Mass. In all of this, it's not because of some servile relationship, but rather in humility, we recognize the great love God has for us, and we want to show our love for Him. Therefore, on the other hand, you have the prideful person. The prideful person thinks of something other than God as priority number one. The proud person here, the prideful person, will take time, if he has time, to give to God in prayer. If Mass is convenient, then we'll go to Mass. If I have time for God, I have time for God. I have done enough for God. King Louis XIV of France, the Sun King, who built Versailles, once his army was engaged in battle with the British. His army was defeated. Louis was upset, and he said to his chaplain, "Does not God realize all that I have done for him? How could this happen?" That is pride. Keep going. Humility, too, is where a person recognizes his accomplishments, but with a grateful heart. He recognizes the talents have come from God. He recognizes and appreciates all those who have helped him accomplish that task, be it teachers or coaches, especially parents. But the grateful person is a humble person. He recognizes he just did not do it on his own. He's also one to congratulate others. So if someone does the best effort, congratulates. If someone does better, he even congratulates. The proud person, though, thinks, I've done it all on my own. And if he is defeated in some way, he's envious, maybe even hates the other person, wants to get even. And so, the humble versus the proud. We could keep going. The humble person, then too, is one who conducts his affairs, as Sirach says, with humility. meaning he does his best. He wants to do what is right in the eyes of God. He wants to do what is right for each person. A humble person respects the dignity of each human being. A humble person will listen. Even if a person disagrees, talking about some issue, a humble person can listen and respectfully say, well, I agree to disagree. The prideful person, though, thinks, I'm right, you're wrong. The prideful person is going to demonize, vilify the person who disagrees. It is my way, or again, the highway. I'm right, you're wrong. Keep going. The humble person takes responsibility for mistakes. He admits them. He seeks forgiveness. He tries to make amends, tries to fix what was done wrong. A humble person also will forgive. He accepts the apology. Life moves on. The prideful person, though, will blame someone else. It's someone else's fault. It's not my fault. The prideful person also rejects the apology. May demand an apology, but he really rejects the apology and does not apologize. The prideful person also is going to hold the grudge. Moving right along with all this, the humble person recognizes life is not always fair. There are injustices to life. Sometimes we're passed over, sometimes overlooked, whatever. But the humble person knows, rather than let that ruin life, God knows what is right. God knows I've done the best I could. And in the end, God's justice will be done. The prideful person, though, is going to take hold of that hurt and become pessimistic, cynical, even trying to undermine perhaps the person who was honored and the like. And also, the prideful person or the humble person, just as Jesus mentions in the gospel, looks out to the needs of others. Recognizing all that God has given, he's always mindful of the person who is in need. So a humble person looks out and recognizes the neighbor who might be elderly and alone, or the relative. I have known individuals who have welcomed the elderly relative into their home and taken care of that person, even until death. I've known families, including my own, who've welcomed the elderly person who's all by himself, herself, to the home for the special dinners at Christmas, Easter, things like that. But that's a humble person, looking out to the needs of others. And then, too, the humble person wants to do what is good and share, helping in the mission of the church, God's church. The prideful person will give, but not sacrificially. The prideful person gives when it's convenient. The prideful person says, well, I've given enough. Someone else can do. And then, very importantly, the humble person can laugh at life and laugh at himself. So important that it's not all about us. Sometimes we have to laugh at life's circumstances. Once Pope St. John Paul II, when he was going to a nursing home in Rome, was visiting the residence there, and he came across this elderly lady. And with a little twinkle in his eye, he said to her, "Do you know who I am?" And the little elderly lady said, "No, but if you ask the nurse, she can tell you." Well, he had a laugh at that. And then I think, too, of a friend of mine. He was about 5 years ahead of me in seminary. He was in some small town in Pennsylvania. He's in a car accident. All they had is one of these urgent care clinics. So he went there, but they determined he needed help at the hospital. Well, the little town did not have an ambulance, but they had a hearse. So they laid him out in the hearse to take him to the hospital in the big town 30 miles away. And he laughed and he said, well, either way, I'm going to go to the right place. So you have to laugh at life. Or like I remember at my other parish, I was in second grade, and there was a little girl named Victoria, always liked to ask questions. So I was talking about the Immaculate Conception. So I'm giving this wonderful, what I think is a wonderful little discussion about the Immaculate Conception. So their eyes are now glazing over. At the end, I said, "Are there any questions?" And little Victoria looked at me and said, pointing at my Roman collar, "How do you get your head through that thing?" Yeah. You know, it's very humbling to think you've just discussed the Immaculate Conception and this is what they're thinking about. We have to laugh. And when we look at our world today, there's so many prideful people, they can't laugh anymore. They so easily take offense at everything. I remember President Bush the First. Once he just made a comment, "I don't like broccoli." Well, the Broccoli Growers Association made a big deal and wanted an apology. And President Bush said, "Look, I don't like broccoli. Ask Barbara, I don't like broccoli. Ask my mother, I don't like broccoli. And I'm the president, I don't have to eat broccoli. But don't get offended." Oh, my brothers and sisters, two hands. One hand, humility, one hand, pride. But they're both at work in our lives, aren't they? And we have to think, which hand is the dominant hand? And it's a struggle for all of us. But when we look at our society, we definitely need a good dose of humility. So the humble person, the one who strives to live that virtue of humility, is going to live in that image and likeness of God. That person's going to become the best version of self, be on the path of holiness. Yes, it's a struggle, but that's the key. To strive for humility. Whereas the person filled with pride, that person is going to fall from grace. And the book of Proverbs reminds us, pride goes before disaster, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, when we look at this, if we're honest, we would say, our country, our society, needs a good dose of humility because there's too much pride. And we've set up so many young people to be filled with a prideful spirit. Last weekend, I read in the Wall Street Journal, in the little review section, an article by a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and it was talking about college students, how they are not emotionally ready for college. It talked about things like the breakup in family life today, the divorce rate, the economics, especially during the Great Recession, as they call it, and so many other factors. A key factor was the rise of the internet, social media. But they also noted that there's the rising rate of mental illness that's growing concern. And they talked about how there's these young people in college suffering from crippling anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, eating disorders, other incidents of self-harm. And it said that 85% of college students today describe as being overwhelmed and 51% feeling that things were hopeless in their lives. But there was an interesting point that was made, and I'll read it. It says that American parents have moved away from the traditional emphasis on encouraging childhood independence, seeking instead to exert ever more control over their children's lives. The pitfalls of this approach include overpreparation, which can place academic achievement at the center of a child's self-esteem, overprotection, which keeps children from making their own mistakes and learning from them, and overinvestment, when parents try to meet their own needs by pushing a child forward in their image. And what this means is we're creating people, young people, with this false pride that says, "I'm so special. I can do no wrong. I can make no mistakes. I have no responsibilities." This is very dangerous. For instance, I was talking with Father Sly the other day, and he is now head of a high school out in Kansas City, Missouri. And he said that a young man was caught vandalizing. And so they called in the young man, and his father was there, and the father said, "My son says he didn't do it." Okay. So Father Sly showed the tape, showed the kid vandalizing the school. And the father said, "I prefer to believe my son." What does that teach a young man? A friend of mine who teaches at Marymount University says it's not uncommon today that parents will call up and challenge their child's grade. Child's supposed to be in college. A young man I know who used to umpire Little League, he was a high school student, did this to make more money, gave up because he was tired of having parents cast profanities at him or even physical threats. So my brothers and sisters, let's look at our lives. We aren't going to change this world, perhaps, but we need to have humility, and we need to instill that humble spirit in our children. For in all, the Lord said to the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, "You have been told, O man, which is good, and what the Lord requires of you, only to do the right and to love goodness, to walk humbly with your God. For if we do that, we'll be welcome to the banquet of heaven. For there, the humble will be exalted, and the exalted will be humbled." May God bless you.